Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're on the air again. This is part 54 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. I know I could do at least a million parts of a program like this because the Word of God is infinite. The Word of God is infinite. The Kingdom of Heaven is infinitely forever. The Kingdom of Heaven is made up of God, the likeness of God, and it's the fulfillment of the book of Genesis that says that God made man in his likeness and image. And so because through all the process of the things that God has done in order to save whoever will be saved, they all become part of the New Jerusalem. In other words, God on the throne has the appearance of jasper, which is a light green color, a greenish, beautiful green color. And the whole New Jerusalem is made out of all the people that were saved, all the people that wanted to be in the likeness and the image of the living God. And so they conformed to the gospel and were transformed into the likeness and the image of God. God's image is jasper. Jasper is the color of green. In the book of Revelation, it shows him as green sitting on the throne, jasper. And so the New Jerusalem, if you read the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, it shows that the entire city, the color of the city is jasper. So God looks like jasper, the very greenish color, which is symbolic of immortal life, and the New Jerusalem. The whole walls, the entire city, is looks like jasper. So symbolically, this jasper is God, and the jasper happens to be the New Jerusalem, which is a composite of all of the people that were saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, who become the New Jerusalem in Christ, in God Almighty. And so therefore, that fulfills the scripture in Genesis that says that he made us in the likeness and image of God. So a lot of people, most of the people of the world, are deceived and refuse to be in the likeness and the image of God. And so they're not the jasper. I don't even want to tell you what they look like to in the eyes of God, but he describes them as chaff, as goats rather than sheep. And so if he looks like jasper in Revelations, in the early part of Revelations, and then in the last part of Revelation, the New Jerusalem looks like jasper, which is the fullness of life, the everlasting life, then we have, that's the fulfillment of New Jerusalem, the fulfillment of he makes us in his likeness, which is jasper, and his image, which is jasper, and we are like jasper. We have the fullness of life in the book of Revelation, in the next to the last chapter of Revelation. Isn't that amazing? This is the fulfillment of Scripture, from the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. So Genesis and Revelation tie together, the last, next to the last chapter of Revelation. All right, and so I could go on and on about how we become in the Lord's likeness and image, to where we are, we do what he does. We die out and let him represent himself in and through us. And therefore, by doing that, we are like God. We're not God, but we are like him. We're members of Christ's body, which is the New Jerusalem. It's the fullness of God. Okay, so if we are the fullness of God, then we have taken on his likeness and image. Amen? That's the way he created man, but man started listening to Satan. And when he started listening to Satan, he no longer was allowing God to represent himself in him. And so Christ had to come to earth as a man. God had to come to earth as a man and show us what God requires of us, so that if we want to be in the likeness and image of God, now that the fullness of time has come, well, then we need to listen to Jesus as to what he tells us that he, as God in the flesh, tells us to do in order to be in the likeness and image of God and have eternal life. So the first thing that he tells us to do is say the prayer. And when we say the prayer, he, Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, enters us, and the life of God is in us. And then we start seeing all the pictures, the images, and the Bible says in the book of Revelations that he wanted John to write down everything that he sees and hears. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to, when you see something, you have to hear it. That means receive it. And if you receive it, then you begin doing it, because you don't want to miss out on eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Unless, you know, of course, unless you're crazy and you don't want to go there, you'd rather go to hell and the lake of fire. I pray that this is not your selection, because we have, our souls have a will. The will of man lives, resides in the soul. God, the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we accept Christ, resides in our spirit. When we receive the fullness of God into our spirits, then our spirit is given the power to take power and dominion over our flesh, our soul, and our flesh. Man is tripartite. We are body, soul, and spirit. And the Bible does not, the Bible tells us that God is the Spirit, and those that worship him must worship him with their body, their soul, or their spirit. With their spirit, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the soul has the will, and the soul is the one that has all the feelings. I used to sing the little song facetiously, feelings. We get these crazy, crazy feelings, you know. Lusts and feelings are in the soul. And so when the Spirit of God moves into our spirit, then we have in our spirit God's power to mortify the soul and the body, so that we can, the Spirit can serve the Lord and contact God. The Spirit is what God has given us to contact him with. The soul does not want to contact God. The flesh does not want to contact God. The flesh wants to raise hell. So does the soul. But we've got to have the Spirit of God in our spirit, so that we can put these two hell raisers down. The power of God makes us more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we can do all things if we are walking in the Spirit. If God's Spirit is in our spirit, which God's Spirit is the power that's holding up the entire universe. And so with God's Spirit residing in our spirit, that's, he gives us the power to smash the soul and all of its lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lusts of our flesh. So our flesh is put down, our body, our soul, and we live by the Spirit. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh or the soulish part of our, but by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to walk by the Spirit, because that's where God resides. It is in our spirit. And so, in other words, we become perfect when God is residing in our spirit and we keep him there. Because it's up to us to keep God in our spirit. The will that's in our soul can throw in the towel anytime it wants to. But if we we force our will to be the will of God, well, then we'll live by the Spirit. because it's just like people that love chocolate or something. Their soul lusts after chocolate. They could weigh 800 pounds and they still want chocolate. They still want cream-style corn. Now, corn is what they fatten hogs with, and also beef, and all these different grains. But if we are going to walk in the Spirit and we want to keep our body under subjection, then we don't let the soul have what it wants. Well, we are only going to live once, and we need to have, we want what we want. This is our life, and you can do that. The Lord says so. Or you can live by the Spirit and put these, like I want to go places, I'd love to go to France or to Spain, Portugal. I've been to France, but I'd like to go to Portugal. I've never been there. I didn't have enough time when I was there. I'd love to live in Israel right now because I'm Jewish. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. And I'd love to be there, but the Lord hasn't allowed me to do that yet. My soul and my flesh wants to be there. But my spirit, I'll do what God tells my spirit to do. Thank you very much. All right? No, we just can't do what we want to if we want to go to heaven. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we have to seek God with our spirit, because our soul is not going to do that, and neither is our body. But if we become so overpowered, if we become so powerful in the Lord, if we just keep doing His will, then we have control over our soul and our flesh, and then we can serve God with all of our heart, soul, mind, spirit, and body. Then our body begins doing the things that the Spirit wants it to do. Because through exercise in commanding our bodies and our spirit, soul to do what the Spirit of God tells our spirit to do, then we have our entire being under subjection and our body is being transformed as we live each day. Okay? So right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. So I'm just saying that I could bring millions of messages, I'm sure, on how to have God's life living in you and in me as well. Father, send down the anointing Spirit upon me. Anoint me outwardly and take over my mouth and let everything that my mouth, everything that everybody's mouth says in this service be from the mouth of God. Now you said, Father, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and so and you told me that the way we bind the things that are evil on this earth is to expose them. What a revelation that is in itself. I've never, ever heard anyone say that before. But you said it, and so I say it over the air. Say other things through me, Lord, that have not been said before, or that people may know, but they're not saying it because they're fearful or they're unbelieving. Fearful and unbelieving. Lord, say through me the things that are important to people that are lost, that they can be saved, and that are important to the church, that they may be edified and strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, where's the first letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Hey.
Dear Pastor Lomo, I am really glad to have this time of writing this letter to you. I believe health-wise and spiritually you are doing fine, and here we are also fine. You can excuse me for taking time to reply to your letter and the parcel I received from you. Pastor Lomo, for sure, God has called you, because through your messages, I am no longer the same. I have been facing so many problems in my life, but reading through so many of your testimonies, I came to know that whatever things that I may pass through, God is there to protect me. In the parcel I received, there was 2 t-shirts, white in color, 7 Bibles, and 6 Messiah books, plus literature. Pastor, really, I don't know how I could show my appreciation to you, because most people believe in receiving instead of giving, and the Bible tells us that it's good to give rather than receive. Pastor, may the Almighty God bless your ministry and your family a double portion on what you receive. Also, there was a note requesting me to write the sizes of t-shirts I wanted. I need 5 small, 18 medium. And any other literature books, if you have any, please, if it's possible, send me some. Pastor, I forgot to ask you one question. Do you have a college of your own? If any, how could I enroll in that college, because I want to study more? Lastly, I say to you, thank you for your help. May the Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, continue blessing your ministry. Thank you very much. Your sister in Christ, Martha, from Zambia, Africa.
Okay, Martha, forget about these radio broadcasts, my literature, and your Bible are all the university or college that you need. Universities, supposed to be Christian universities or colleges, do more to destroy your faith than they ever do to build your faith. And the Lord has called all of us to build people's faith and to encourage them in the Word of God. And so anything other than that, what universities do, they teach you about 10 different things that you can choose. They say, Reverend so-and-so, his theory or his interpretation of the Bible is this. Reverend Smith says it's this. And it's like, there's no private interpretation of the Bible. The Bible says that there's only one correct interpretation of the Bible, and that means that everyone's opinion is false. So in universities, you're going to get anywhere from 10 to 100 opinions of what each scripture says. Some of the universities say, well, you know, we don't believe that Genesis was written by Moses, and also the book of Revelation, you should stay away from it because it's symbolic. And I mean, just what I mentioned right here tears your faith apart. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's all you're going to get in a university, believe me. This Fuller University here in Pasadena, California, I started studying with the dean there. And when I started reading some of those books, I mean, it was like repulsive. It was like a force that I had to resist. I had to bind it here on earth so that the Lord could bind it in the kingdom of God. These are things that you don't want to know. No, and the same thing with the History Channel. They get on, I mean, where do these unsaved human beings get the unmitigated gall to start explaining the Bible to the people of the world? This channel has to be one of the most satanic channels on the face of this earth, because they say that Jesus was married to the Mary Magdalene and that he had a child. This is so false, it's unbelievable. It also states that they found in Egypt, of all places, Africa, the book of Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus. And they say that Jesus was the one that actually told Judas to betray him. This is a dirty, filthy lie. Jesus said, one of you is a devil. And so they're trying to make Judas look like a good guy because he just obeyed the Lord in betraying him. If he was a good guy, then why did the Lord call him a devil? Amen?
Amen.
There's no scripture to back this up. It keeps talking about the Son of Man, the Son of God was betrayed, and that it would be better that that man had never been born than to have done such a thing as that. And so these are things that you'll be hearing in universities. They're actually of Satan. Bible universities are of Satan. There's another, there's some of these Bible institutes that even manufacture Bibles. They'll put out books on people that say that good people of the Lord are of the a cult. It's so confusing. All you need to do to stay out of confusion is stay into the Bible. And all I'm doing is preaching messages from the Bible and revelations that the Lord has shown me. Stick with that, okay? You want to join my university or college? One of the first things you learn in my university is don't go to universities. Amen?
Amen.
Stay out of them, because they just throw your soul, that's all. All right, now, and Judas was not a good man. He carried the money bags. That's what he was interested in, was in money and power. And he wanted Jesus to take his power and dominion over the Roman Empire that was there during that time. Pilate and Caesar. But Jesus didn't come to do that. He came here to save souls. And Judas had already made a deal with the Sanhedrin, with the high priest. The Bible says that the devil entered into him. And Jesus, there are no words in the Bible that show that Jesus instructed him to betray him. I mean, that would make Jesus a psychopath if he did something like that. Jesus is God. God came into the world in the body of Jesus Christ, a human being. Reverend Hagee says that Jesus didn't have human blood. Reverend Hagee is a liar. He was exactly like us in every way, with the exception that he never sinned. If he didn't have human blood, then the Bible would be a lie. And they said that they found some of this blood. I mean, this is just as wrong as saying that they found this book of Judas in a cave someplace in Egypt. Lies. The Bible says that Satan, things like this that Satan would do in the last days would be so deceptive that it would fool, deceive the very elect if possible. I'm one of the very elect, and it's not possible to deceive me. Why? Because I only believe the Bible. Anyone preaching any other doctrine than the Bible says let him be accursed. So when they're preaching that there's another book that is called the Book of Judas, and that Judas was not really a bad guy, whoever says that is accursed. The whole History Channel is accursed, because anyone preaching any other doctrine than that which the apostles have taught, and the apostles taught that Judas was an out-and-out devil. Matthew preaches that, Mark, and John. And so does even Luke. Luke the Gentile, the doctor. Luke wasn't even around with those disciples. He only had written that which he had assessed from the other apostles. Paul was one born out of due season. And he was totally in touch with the Lord, as I am. Totally in touch with the Lord. Believe me, there is no book of Judas that's a legitimate book of the Bible. Some Arab or some Muslim made this up just to try to blemish the gospel. But we need to go by anyone adding to the Bible or taking away from the Bible are accursed. Whatever you do like that, you're going to spend that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and you'll spend eternity in hell. Do not receive any such doctrine as that Jesus had sexual relationships with anybody. And do not believe that there is a book of Judas that is authentic. I don't doubt that some devil put together something like that. But it's only the devil, because it's totally unscriptural. It's not even in the Apocrypha. It's not in the Bible, and it's not in the Apocrypha. There's no such thing. It's just a fabrication that's made up. And whoever did it is accursed. Okay, now where's the next letter from?
From Farmington Hills, Michigan.
I've never even heard of that. Okay, what do they say?
Dear World Pastor Tony Ulamo and the Holy Ulamo Christian Church, thank you so much for sending the newsletters and literature. I have been reading them one by one and have a few to go yet. I have also been listening to the radio audio tapes via the internet and sure have been blessed. In fact, the last one I heard on Friday, lo and behold, you actually read my first letter to you. That blessed me so much, because then I knew you had received my letter. In reading about this blessed ministry and its beginnings with your wife Susan, the beginning of the Jesus movement, and of course your powerful testimony when Jesus supernaturally appeared to you at that meeting, with everyone thinking you went insane.
No, he didn't appear to me there, but he... And no one thought, well, the attorney said, get him out of here, he's my Meshuggah, but they knew, he said, if he'll just deny, you know, that he saw that, then I'll do business with him again. I didn't want to do business with him in the first place, but the Lord didn't appear to me, he appeared to me in the spirit, and vocally, and also, he gave me this supernatural experience with him. But I actually saw Jesus around 3 years later, pure right in front of me, in my bedroom. Okay, then what?
And those so-called buddies laughing at you. Jesus appearing to you was no joke for sure. And what a ministry and calling he has given you, along with all the persecution you have suffered through.
Amen.
The vicious lies of the Cult Awareness Network, which I do not think exists anymore unless called by another name.
The Church of Scientology has won a battle over the Cult Awareness Network, and they now own all that, and they own the Cult Awareness Network now. And if you call them and ask if we're a cult, they'll tell you absolutely not, that we are not a cult, that the government is a cult. And the people that have been saying these things about us are a cult, but that we are not. They know we're no cult. As a matter of fact, some of our attorneys are Scientologists. We're the Church of God, but the Scientologist Church. I don't care what religion you belong to. It's just a actually, the way it has been explained to me is that they just have a doctrine or a religion of keeping everything in order, like filing things and things like that. But to me, that isn't a cult either. It's nice to keep things in order. If they're preaching some doctrine that is not biblical, then it's a cult. But the new Cult Awareness Network is owned by the Scientologist Church, okay? And many people have called them and they say, no, we're not a cult. But the old Cult Awareness Network, that was the cult. They're like into witchcraft and kidnapping and murder. And they still are going because it's a division of the Vatican. It's what it is. And what's the name of that springs?
Wellsprings?
Yeah, Wellsprings. They actually send people there to be what they call deprogrammed. They try to stop you from being a Christian. And it's a cult. They're still, you know, still doing their thing. Okay, what else?
All the liars that came against you, all the legal rigmarole you have gone through. As you have said, if you through Jesus weren't making a huge hole in Satan's kingdom, these things would not have befallen you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's my sport, is to kick Satan's rear end. I mean, you know, some people like golf, baseball, basketball, football. But, you know, there's no reward one way or the other. Some people make a lot of money at it. I know some football stars that are not quarterbacks. The quarterbacks make all the money. And the receivers, but these linemen, they get battered up a lot, and they don't get that much at all—not even enough to pay for their hospital bills. But my sport is smashing Satan, to resist Satan, to stop him by exposing him. The Lord said that's the way to stop him. That's the way to expose him. That's the way to bind him here on earth, and so that's what I do. That's my job. It's a thankless job, but that's what I do. It's thankless to the people in the world, but the Lord is very grateful for me doing it. And he'll be grateful to you as well. He's no respecter of persons. Start exposing Satan. If you're too afraid to say the things, just send me documentation and I'll say it on my program. All right? Because I'm not fearful and I'm not unbelieving. And I want to bind the devil. Okay, then what?
Plus, you are Jewish, so who better to be used by the Lord to minister for the Lord's kingdom?
Yeah, we're the ones that wrote the Bible. So don't tell us what the Bible says. Ask us, okay? We Jews wrote the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Now the Lord God himself, it states that he was a mighty angel and that he has one foot planted on the earth and the other one in the sea in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, raising up his hand and swearing that this is the end of time. And then we know that this mighty angel is the Lord Jesus Christ because he states, these are my two witnesses in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Well, there isn't anyone else. When he stands on the earth and in the sea, that means that he's claiming, he's repossessing the title indeed to the earth and the seas. He said, this is it, it's all over. He says, the mystery of God is finished, it's all over with. That means that's the end of time. Then he tells you, these are my two witnesses that witness these things. These two witnesses are mentioned in the book of Zechariah, and they're mentioned elsewhere, but this isn't what we're preaching today. But at any rate, the two witnesses are in the next chapter, chapter 11. So we're right there. All right, where you're going to see these two people, the whole world is going to see them, and the devil's going to rise up and kill them. And they're going to lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights, and God's going to raise them up. The people of the world are going to send presents to them because they've been exposing the devil in all the people of the world. Now, I'm talking about the people of the world. We who are the New Jerusalem are not people in the world. I'm not into the world. I'm in the world, but not part of it. And every true born of the Spirit Christian that is a member of the New Jerusalem is in the world, but they're not a part of it. So all the people in the world are deceived, but we're not, because we're of the kingdom of heaven. Now, you could be of the kingdom of heaven too. You can just say the prayer at the end of this program. And at the end of the program, you can also ask for a copy of the tape, the program, which is program number 156. You can just tell us if you want a tape or a CD. Now let's finish with this person here.
But for the kingdom of God and of heaven are you prepared and being prepared and preparing others to overcome, to be seated in heavenly places.
Why, that's why the devil is attacking me so hard, is because I am preparing you people out in the world and the church. Many who have almost completely fallen away, I'm strengthening you, the Lord is strengthening you through his words through my mouth, to get right with the Lord, because time is no more. It's just seconds away to where there's not going to be any more time. And of course there's so many diversions that people in are not living close to the Lord, and they don't have any realization that this is it. It's finished. It's over with. That's what the Bible says when you see these things happen. Okay, then what?
All glory to God in the highest, for he does all things well.
Amen. Then what?
Praise the Almighty for all the international work that goes forth from your ministry.
Amen. And you too. I love your letters, and I just know the things that you're saying are going around the world as well, and it's strengthening the others that hear this. And those of you in Radio Land that haven't sent in testimonies, send them in. And if they're good, if they're of the Lord, then we'll read them. Okay, then what else?
All the hungry.
And sometimes I read them that are not of the Lord, so I can show you people how sick some of the people out in the world are. And in hopes that the person that wrote these sick letters will receive the way that the Lord allows me to uncover their sickness. All right, so that they can be saved as well. Then what?
All the hungry souls that write and desire to sincerely follow the ways of the living God and want Bibles. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for such a time as this, the very end of the end time, the Lord would put me in touch with you. I'm blessed beyond words. Thank you, and if you do
praise
have...
the Lord. Then what?
If you do have a tape regarding marriage, divorce, and adultery, could you please forward it on to me? I don't recall a date exactly, sorry. Anyway, enclosed, find an offering to use where needed most, in Jesus' name, Sister Kathy from Farmington Hills, Michigan.
Well, marriage is likened unto the marriage between a human soul and the Lord. It is it's unbreakable. I mean, if you break it, then you break the commandment of the Lord. The Lord hates divorce, and the Lord hates turning back. The Lord hates adultery. The Lord hates fornication. He hates people that are deceivers. He hates the devil. He hates Satan. That's why Satan is allowed, is sent his soul to an eternity of torment in the lake of fire. Okay, where's the next letter coming from?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right, let's hear that.
Dear Pastor, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is your family and your ministry?
Fine, they're really fine, thank you.
Hope God is in control.
He is, for sure. Then what?
Thank you for saving my life from the devil through your Christian literature. May the Lord our God keep on blessing you, your family, and your ministry. I've read one of your pieces of literature, which was given to me by a friend of mine, and in fact, it has actually helped me to understand certain things which I used to not understand, especially the topic Jesus never said. Once again, thank you, Pastor. I would like to take this opportunity to request more of your literature so that I can distribute it to the people in my village to help in winning more souls for the Lord. Please also send me a Holy Bible to serve as a reference to the quotations given. My final greetings to you and your family. Hope to hear from you. Thank you. Yours in Christ, Eric from Ghana, Africa.
All right. Now, there was... thank you very much for that letter, all of you who send letters in. It's really encouraging to everybody in the ministry and others in the world as well that are in the world but not of the world. Now, there's the memoirs of one of the Chancellor of Germany in World War II. In his memoirs, he states that the Pope in Rome during those days wanted Germany to be the sword of the Vatican. In other words, whoever the Vatican wanted to destroy, they wanted Germany to do it. And so the Vatican gave instructions for Germany to destroy the Jews. And so it doesn't make any difference what the Vatican says. They stated, well, we realize that we should have stepped forward and said something to stop the Jews from being destroyed. But it was them that were actually instructing Germany to kill them. I mean, words are so easy to say, you know. But Christians cannot lie. If we want to go to heaven, no liar shall enter the heaven. That's why I know all these people are going to hell, into the lake of fire. They say they don't believe in homosexuality, and yet they are homosexuals. You know, it's easy to just say how we are against homosexuals, and yet they're all homosexuals, almost every single one of them. Child molesting homosexuals as well, little choir boys. Why is it that you don't see the Vatican's media coming down on them, or these same-sex marriages, as much as they should? The Bible comes against them. What they're coming against is some of the people in the Latter-day Saints Church. I don't believe in their doctrine, because I don't believe in Moriah or any of these other supposed to be prophets, and Joseph Smith. I don't believe in them. I believe that these are is another gospel, and that people shouldn't preach that stuff. Now, a lot of the thing, I mean, they are really squeaky clean type people, but they're not clean if they are deviating from the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus, and you don't do that. So But I mean, they do have pictures of Christ all over the walls in there and everything, and they do preach Jesus, but it's a very deceptive organization, and I don't have time to get into all that. There are many programs that have exposed them, but anyway, this Pope, the Chancellor of Germany, wrote these things in his memoirs. Go ahead and read it.
Quote, "It was of interest to me that the Pope said to me on this occasion that Germany must become the sword of the Catholic Church. I remarked that the old Roman Empire of the German nation no longer existed and that conditions had changed, but he stuck to his words," unquote.
Yeah, and so that was World War I. Well, of course, in World War II, they did become the sword. Germany did become the sword of the Vatican. The Vatican has always hated the Jew, because the Jew is the one that wrote the Bible, and it was the world's greatest Jew that everyone must bow down to in order to be saved. You cannot be saved unless you become a spiritual Israelite. You cannot be saved unless you bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, the world's greatest Jew. God himself came into the world in the flesh of a Jew, a human Jewish person. And so if you're a Norwegian and you don't like that, that's tough. You know, or if you're a Puerto Rican or a Mexican or a Cuban, that's tough. Or if you're an Italian, that's tough. That's just too bad for you. You better receive what the Lord says. Now, if I were, a Puerto Rican or a Mexican, that wouldn't bother me at all that the Lord is a Jew. Yeah, the Bible says he is, and that's he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah is one of it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, amen?
Amen?
The 12 princes of Israel, and one of them was Judah, and if you trace the genealogy of Jesus, he comes from the tribe of Judah. Now, Jesus is God's the flesh that God used to live in when he was on earth. And we all become spiritual Jews, whether you're Norwegian or Puerto Rican, Mexican or Cuban or Afghanistan or Jew. You become a spiritual Jew when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because God comes into you. And he's no respecter of persons. He'll live in you just like he did Jesus, or we Jews. Bible states that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, not just Israel. So every nation in the world, every nationality can become a spiritual Jew by kneeling down before the world's greatest Jew and accepting the world's greatest Jew into your heart with his Father by the Spirit. World's greatest Jew is deity. So if you don't like Jews, you're in big trouble with God, because you're going to have to stand in front of that Jew at the judgment bar of God. Okay, and it's not going to be nice if you don't bow down before him now. This is the Lord's personal advice to you. Put aside your pride and become a spiritual Jew, a spiritual Israelite. Okay, we have another statement. Oh, that the senior Bush, not the Bush that is president today, but his dad, stated that he wanted that the Pope should be the in the head, the actual chaplain of the entire New World Order. And so that right there tells you that the Pope actually had him say that, John Paul II, because the Pope is the one that dictates to the presidents and the kings and the queens of this world what they must do if they want to stay in office. That means that these presidents, people in administration, people in leadership in these secular, fleshy, soulish, one world government, church, and media, that these people are all just puppets of the Pope. And the Pope is powered by Satan, that great red dragon, the Bible says this, Satan. So all the people that are the heads of nations are actually powered, that take orders from the Pope, by Satan himself. This network of people and all the people that follow them in the world that are deceived are called the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not one person any more than the body of Christ is one person. It's like the body of Christ is Christ, and it's composed of millions of people, and Antichrist is composed of hundreds of millions of people as well. Okay, so now we're going to do a little bit here from the part 54 of How to Have God's Life Living in You.
The seven messengers or stars. The second sign or picture is the seven stars. Which
okay. Now what we did is I explained to you what the second picture is. See, Jesus showed John the book of Revelations in signs. Now a sign is actually a picture. Or the Bible says that he signifies. When you signify something, you actually, it's an animated thing. It said the signified lion. You know that it's a lion, it's a picture of a lion, and he signifies something, he shows you something, shows you a picture, a sign. A sign is a picture. And he says, said to John, all these things, he says, I want you to write down that I show you, that I said, that you see. And of course, he says, and hear. But he shows him, so he shows him the seven candlestick or these lampstands, which are symbolic of the church, because the church has God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit in them, and the lampstands happen to be the church. Amen?
Amen.
The church is the exact likeness and image of God. God is sitting on the throne, and he is a greenish, beautiful greenish color, which is the picture of God in that particular picture. God has many shapes and forms. And when he was speaking to Moses in the burning bush, he was there like an angel, and he appears as whatever way he wants to. Amen?
Amen.
And the New Jerusalem is, all the walls are complete, everything is constructed of this same material that God is composed of. And that composition, he's just this symbolizing that he's everlasting life. And the people that are the lampstands and are the church, and they have everlasting life too, because they have God's life living in them, and they've allowed God to represent himself in and through them. And so they're rewarded by having the same likeness and image of God. And the city that is composed, the foundation is composed of, the foundation is made of, is the church itself. So that's the foundation. Now the foundation, the founders of, or the foundation of IBM happen to be couple figures, the Son and the Father and the Son. But the foundation of the kingdom of heaven are followers of Christ, who is God, with God in him. And so they both have this beautiful greenish color as a symbol of everlasting life. They're not really green. That's just symbolic of life, everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
So don't think that you have to go out and, you know, get something green. Or you Irish out there, don't think that, you know, this is like symbolic of the shamrock, all right? You must be born again, all right? You move out of the Catholic cult. Now then, go ahead. Now we're talking. Now, next picture the Lord shows John is the seven stars. Amen?
Amen.
Is that, okay, go ahead.
The second sign or picture is the seven stars which follow or accompany the lampstands. The seven stars are the messengers or angels of the churches, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. The churches are messengers to the lost souls of the world.
Okay, like, so a messenger, actually a word is an angel, because we're like described in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation as bright stars. And the Bible says those that win many people to the Lord, that lead many to righteousness, are shine as the stars in heaven. And so we're messengers that bring the message of God to, by the Lord speaking through us, to the lost world. And so we, in essence, are angels or messengers. And as I stated before, that these naval officers are able to chart their course by the stars. The stars lead, guide, and direct the ships at sea. And they tell us different things, too. They're in the heavens, the Bible says, for signs or pictures, and they're in the heavens for signs and seasons to tell us, to show us by the pictures, the stars, of what's going on. Amen?
Amen.
And so we as messengers or stars are telling you what's going on in the spiritual realm so that you can become spiritual as well. Okay, now continue on, please.
In every gathering place, there are some brothers who are stars.
In other words, every meeting place where they have services, Christian services, there are messengers there. There are stars there. Sometimes there might be one star in a church, in a whole network of churches throughout the world. One angel, one messenger. In the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, the Lord says, his mighty angel. Well, this mighty angel is Jesus, because he's got a rainbow around him. He's in one part of it, it's a rainbow around him and a cloud about him and so on. And never before has there been such a mighty angel that's standing and proclaiming ownership of the sea and the earth again, because it rightfully belongs to him because he created it. So Jesus is the greatest messenger. He says, the faithful and true messenger. Amen?
Amen.
So he is not only the God, the Father, God, the Son, the God, the Holy Spirit, but he's the good and faithful messenger and servant of the Almighty God. And he's a brother to us. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the bright and morning star. He's got many names. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead.
There are some brothers who are stars, those who are members of the lampstands. These are the brothers.
That are the lampstands, the church. Then what?
These are the brothers that shine. They are shining stars.
Right. Now, some brothers, I mean, they never get the message. They don't want to be a lampstand. They don't want to be the lights of the world. They think they are if they just do certain kinds of work. But you really must have the Lord living in you, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in order to be a messenger of the Lord, and then to be moved by the Holy Spirit, just like the prophets were, that were moved by the Holy Spirit and uttered the things that the Lord God was telling them to utter. All right, then what else?
In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, they are the ones who turn many to righteousness, who will shine as the stars, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Jesus our Lord says, the righteous will shine forth in the coming kingdom as the sun. However, the messengers who are members of the church don't wait for the coming age to shine. They do their shining now in this world. The elders in the churches are the ones who should be shining, shining as the stars. When people meet them, they are meeting the light. Stars brighten the night, the darkness. The world is in darkness. We messengers, stars, are the light. The stars show us the way, the truth, the life. The captains of ships at sea are able to chart their course by the stars. The stars are the leaders for God, those who lead many to righteousness. They are the stars or messengers of the churches. God, the appearance of jasper, is in Revelation.
All right. My time is up. For more time. Somebody buy me a network out there so I can just keep going. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, you guys with deep pockets out there. Buy me a network. Praise the Lord. All right, listen, those of you people that want to be one of the stars, an angel that leads people to righteousness, say this prayer to the Lord. You become born again first. This is the first step. All right, say this prayer to the Lord and mean it. I know you're going to mean it with all your heart and soul and mind, with your spirit. Amen? So just say it now. Say, my Lord and my God, I believe that you sent Jesus into this world to die for us, that you came into the world in Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ, then, is the Son of the living God, that you lived in him. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe, Father, that you raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my spirit, into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I'm calling upon you, Lord, and therefore I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if you'd like to have a copy of this program, it's free of charge. You can please request if you want a tape or a CD. This is program 156. And here's Sharon to tell you how to receive it four different ways, if you like. In a Bible and some literature and one Messiah book and some of these tapes or whatever else you'd like that we have. You know, we'll, if it's of the Lord, we'll send it to you. All right? Go ahead, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so make sure you tune in tomorrow because there's going to be more of this. And that is, it'll be part 55 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, praise the Lord, and stay in the Spirit. That way you stay warm. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon.